Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
Would you look at the picture, please? I tried to find a picture that might describe how our lives feel sometimes, or how certain parts of our lives may feel at times. And probably everyone in here, except for you really weird folks that are so organized, you probably have some drawer in your house or some corner in your house or some spot in a closet somewhere or out in the garage that would resemble something like this. And so I want you to think about that spot and think about that place that's in disarray. And I just saw some ladies who punched their husbands. But some spot that's in disarray. And I want you to think about, in the areas of your life, is there some area in your life where this past year things have kind of been like that? They're just a mess, maybe a bad mess. Well, there's an old saying that if you keep on doing what you're doing, you'll keep reaping the same results that you're reaping. So, in the areas of our lives, in our spiritual life, our social life, our secret life, is there any area there where things have been a mess? Maybe, you know, in our social life, there's some relationship, some friendship that has gotten in a mess, and we just haven't done anything about it. Maybe there's some area in our lives where things have gotten out of control. And we have not been listening to God, and because we haven't listened to God or we haven't obeyed God, we've got a real mess on our hands. Well, what are we going to do about it? Sometimes we have things that happen in our lives that's really not our fault, but it's still our problem. And maybe there's something in your life as you start 2017 that, you know what, today God brought us here in His house to examine those things, and 2017 will be different. No matter what is going on in your life, no matter how desperate or difficult your situation, let's be determined that we're going to make the best of a bad mess. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah over in the Old Testament, if you look at the story of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, we're going to examine something that took place in his life. Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. It's the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. It came to pass in the month of Chesliv, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven, and I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O God, and awesome God. Oh, great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you, and we have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of heavens, yet I will gather them from there and will keep them and will bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Oh Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servants and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, referring to King Artaxerxes, for I was the king's cupbearer. That is one of the beginnings. That is the beginning of one of the most wonderful stories in all of God's Word. Somebody who decided to take a bad mess and they were going to make it their problem and do what they could about it. He was not going to settle for coming in last and doing nothing. Let me ask you something. Is there something that God has brought to your attention? And he brought it to your attention because he wants to do something through you about it. And so he's brought it to your attention, and maybe you have tried not to think about it, or maybe you have not thought about it at all until this moment. And you've determined you're going to do what you can. You may not can fix everything. You may not can come in first, but you're going to do what you can. My senior year in high school, our coach told me, Danny, we're going to the district meet, and I need you to run. Now, they called it the 440 back then. How many of you remember being called the 440? And great is your reward in heaven. They call it the 400 meters now. And so I was running the 440, and I wasn't real pleased about it because that meant you had to run all the way around the track. I preferred to be a sprinter. And the 220 or the 200 meters is what I really like to run. But he said, Danny, I've got to have you to run that. Well, the problem with that is that there was a guy in that race that held the state record. And so everyone knew he was going to win. But he said, Danny, we've got to be represented. So we got up there and I thought, well, I'll do the best I can. And so the gun was fired. I took off, and just like was expected, this dude, he looked like a vision. He was just gone. And I started running, and I ran, and I ran. And when I rounded that last corner, I thought, I am going to beat this guy. And I poured it on, and I don't know where that little burst of speed came from, but I was able to pass that guy, and I came in second that day. Just so happens the guy passed, the guy that won, it was his brother. So it was a little bit of joy in that. But I still remember that race. Though there were other races that actually I won, I still remember that race as my favorite race because it was the one that I tried the hardest in, and it helped my team win the district meet. You'd be amazed what would happen if, though someone may be ahead of you, you don't have to come in last. I love what a guy named Woody sat in my office one day, and just a friend. He's worked here some, and he goes to another church, but he said, "You know, Pastor," he said, "I don't have to be first." He said, "But I do want a place. I do want a place." And I want to share with you that you can take a bad mess and give it over to the Lord and rely upon Him, and you will be amazed at what might happen. You just might be amazed at what would happen to the whole team if you run your best race. And if you take whatever mess you have that's going on with you right now and say, I'm going to run, I'm going to pass every one of the obstacles that Satan has put in my way, and I am going to finish a winner. And so Nehemiah had word that the walls of Jerusalem, the most holy place, the most holy city, that the walls were torn down and the gates were burned. And it broke his heart. And here he is, away from there, and he's the cupbearer to the king. Now, he could have said, I'll pray for y'all. I'll pray for you. You know what? A lot of times when we say, "I'll pray for you," that means this will get them out of my hair. I'll tell them that, and then I don't have to worry about it anymore. He said, "I will pray, but I'm going to do more than that. I'm going to ask God to use me." And so he did. And so he was in the court of the king, and the king noticed that he had something on his heart because it was on his countenance. You see, whatever's down in the well comes up in the bucket. And some of you hadn't got a clue what I meant by that either, do you? Well, if you've ever had to draw water out of a well, you drop the bucket down in that well and you draw it up, and whatever is down in that well comes up in the bucket. And whatever is in our heart is what comes out in our lives and in our countenance and our expressions. And so the king noticed. He said, "This is sadness of heart." And so he told him. And he said, "You go and do something about it." And so he did. And he went to Jerusalem. And I want you to notice the things that if you and I will take this formula for whatever mess we have, we can make the best of a bad mess with it. And I want you to notice the first thing he did is that he surveyed the situation. You know, Jesus says in the New Testament, Jesus said that whenever you're going, before a person starts to build a building, they need to count the cost. And so the Bible says that when he got to Jerusalem, that he got some people with him, and then at night he got on his horse and he rode around Jerusalem, him and just a few others, and they surveyed the situation. Now, let me ask you to do something right now. With your eyes open, don't look at anything except what God would put before you right now that you need to survey. What is the situation? What's the mess that God wants you to take on? Maybe it's something that someone else's problem, but you know God's put you there to try to take care of it, and so you're going to get involved with it. Or maybe it's something that's your own situation and you don't know what you're going to do. Let me ask you something right now, by the witness of the Holy Spirit, that you would look at your situation, you would survey that situation. Take a ride around the wall. Those of you who like horses, imagine you're on a horse. Those of you that have always wanted to ride a horse, imagine you're on a horse. Those of you that are scared of a horse, get on a bicycle. Anything. It doesn't matter. Just take a ride around the wall. Take a ride around the wall and look at the situation. See the things that have crumbled. See the things that that have been destroyed. Look at what can be rebuilt. And I want you to notice that there's something else that he did here. The reason you ride around the wall is so that you can count the cost. Just like Jesus said in those verses that I said a while ago, you count the cost. Now, you don't count the cost so that you can decide, well, that's just too big a job for me. You don't count the cost because you would say, well, I don't think I want to get involved in that. You don't count the cost because you want to look for an excuse to say, well, I tried, but I couldn't do it. You count the cost so that you will know what kind of resources to rely on from God. Now, don't forget who God is. And by the way, if you know him as your Savior, don't forget who you are. That you are a blood-bought, born-again, Bible-believing child of the King of Kings who wants to bless you by being a blessing to others through you and who will provide all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So, survey the situation. Take a ride around the wall. Secondly, count the cost. What are the resources you need to accomplish what you can do? And thirdly, he had other people there with him. And those people that he had with him were people who were experts in certain areas. And if you read the rest of the story of Nehemiah, you will see that some of those people that were with him were people who had an expertise in certain areas. This past week, a man that I looked to him as sort of a mentor. I have some of his books. He was pastor at one time of Green Acres Baptist Church in Tyler, Texas. He was a great man of God. His name is Paul Powell. And I heard this week that Paul Powell went home to be with the Lord. He was 83. Paul Powell, I had no idea if he would do it or not, but I contacted him and I invited him to come and speak at a men's retreat we had years and years ago. And he accepted. And he and I were having lunch that day before we got to Lake Tomahawk to have that men's retreat. We were having lunch together in Woodville. And I was talking about how our church needed to build. And I was saying, you know, I think we need to do this. I think we need to do that. And he said, Danny, let me give you a little piece of unsolicited advice. He said, when you need an expert, get one, don't be one. And I have used that saying so many times, people think I came up with it. When you need an expert, get one, don't be one. And you know what? In your situation, as you survey your situation, as you ride around the wall and you consider the cost, get some people together with you and around you to pray with you and to seek their advice. It doesn't mean that you'll necessarily do what they suggest. It may be that you hear some things that you know that's not what you need to do, but it will help you because the Bible says, in the counsel of many, there is wisdom. Survey the situation. Start working and stay with it. Start working and stay with it. In Proverbs, the Bible says, a desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. I want you to think about something that you started working on, working toward. Maybe it was a position that you desired and you worked hard and you finally received that promotion. I want you to think about someone Well, I tell you, I'm looking at something that I desired, and I stole her away from her boyfriend. And that has been sweet to my soul. But she's always wondered what great sin she committed to desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. So start now and stay with it. You remember the old story of the tortoise and the hare? You remember that old nursery rhyme? Well, not an old nursery rhyme story, but anyway, if it wasn't, it should have been. But anyway, it was about this rabbit and this turtle. The rabbit challenged this turtle to a race, and so the rabbit, whenever the race started, boy, he just took off. But then he got distracted, and he went this way and that way, took a nap. And guess who won the race? The one who stayed with it. Start working and stay with it. Quit putting it off. You know, I'm going to, and don't say, okay, I'm going to make this New Year's resolution. What Nehemiah did is he didn't say, Lord, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. He said, Lord, I repent. I repent. First thing to do when you're going to start working on a project is to repent of anything that may have gotten in the situation to begin with. And then start working as the Lord leads you. And if you're not sure, sometimes we say, well, the Lord never did tell me where I needed to start. Well, maybe the Lord was waiting for you to start. And then give you the full direction. If tonight at 10 o'clock you take off to Houston, your headlights will not shine all the way to Houston from here. But if you take off, your lights will be on. You'll go as far as your lights are shining, and as you go, the lights keep shining farther and farther. So start working. And the Lord, sometimes we may take a step for the Lord to show us, okay, now that I see that step of faith, step this way. And he will direct you. If he's put something on your heart to do, then do it. Start working and stay with it. My youngest son, his in-laws live in Amarillo. And so he drove his family up there for a week during Christmas this year. And then he flew home. And I figured he'd be over to the house eating mama's cooking every night. But he had something he wanted to get done. He had a project. He wanted to build a zip line in his backyard. And so we'd check with him during the day. Well, you can come in over to eat. No, I want to finish this. And he had another little project. He wanted to finish it, and he wanted it done before they got home. Before his family, he flew back up there and got them and drove them home. And so on his 4 days off, while he was working, when he would get home from work, he would get there and work until it got dark and sprayed with off. And I'm thinking, my goodness, son, is it really worth that? He got it rigged up. He called his older brother, who has two boys. And Mark told Jeff, I need a couple of crash dummies to come test this thing out. So Jeff said, sure. So he brought Daniel and Dylan over there, and they got on the zip line and tried it out. And of course, Dana's looking up on the internet, zip line injuries, and just, you know. But anyway, so yesterday when it quit raining, and Luke and Kelsey they didn't know about the zip line yet. When it quit raining, they went outside, and Mark FaceTime called me and showed Luke getting on the zip line and riding back and forth across the backyard. And every time he would come to the end, Luke would jump off, grab it, run back, get on the platform. I want to tell you, start working and stay with it because of the reward. Because of the reward that is waiting for you. In addition to that, the devil's not going to like it. So the Bible tells us that whenever Nehemiah began to build the wall, there were people in the area that did not like it, one by the name of Tobiah, the Amorite, another one by the name of Sanballat. And they began to threaten, and they began to make fun of. And Tobiah said, "And if a fox were to jump up on that wall, it would tear it down," and just try to humiliate. And you know what he did? He put guards up, and he had people to have a weapon on their side, and a tool in their other hands, in their hands. And so they stood guard, and they were still working. I want to share with you that if you decide that you've got this mess that you're going to tackle in your life, in your spiritual life, your social life, your secret life, the enemy is not going to like it if you decide to tackle it. Stand guard. Satan and his scoffers and his scorners will have their distractions and their detours and their dead ends and their disappointments. Stand guard. Stand guard. Remember that the Bible says that we are to every day put on the whole armor of God. Because if we don't, the enemy is going to come in and crush our little feelings, hurt our little feelings some way, or get us distracted, making us think that the urgent is more important than the important. I remember Paul Powell also telling me, reading something that he said, and I heard him preach this at evangelism conference one time, and he said, remember to keep the main thing the main thing. Remember that the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. So stand guard. Stand guard. And don't let the enemy take away the wonderful reward that is waiting for you if you tackle what the Lord puts before you. And then there's something that we have got to know about Nehemiah. He was one of the greatest prayer warriors that Scripture has ever told us about. So if we are going to make the best of a bad mess, we've got to stay on our knees. The first chapter here that we read about Nehemiah talks about him immediately fasting and praying and going to the Lord. But all through the book of Nehemiah, you will read that Nehemiah would pray this one little prayer. Remember me, O my God. Remember me, O my God. And the last words of the book of Nehemiah are this: remember me, O my God, for good. Remember me, O my God, for good. Would you say those words out loud with me? Remember me, O my God, for good. How do you want to be remembered? How do you want to be remembered? These words came to me. Nothing changes your perspective like a view from the top. Nothing puts you on top of things like going to your knees. There's one more thing I want to share with you. In the second chapter of Nehemiah, whenever Nehemiah was standing before the king, the Bible says that Nehemiah told the king, I will need letters from you. I will need letters from you to the governors to give me permission, to allow me to get the resources that I need. Nehemiah had letters from the king. I want to share with you that in what God is putting on your heart to do in 2017, starting today, January the 1st, 2017, that you have a letter from the king that authorizes you to take care of whatever God has placed before you. God did not appoint you to be miserable and to be meaningless. But the Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or famine or perils or persecution or nakedness or the sword or distress or the sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And the Bible says, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We have letters from the king that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have letters from the king that says that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We have letters from the king that talk about the Lord being our shepherd, therefore we shall not want. We have letters from the king. And you have a letter from the king this morning. And I invite you to stand and bow in prayer with me.
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.